KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
I really believe that everybody should be born poor. 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
I want a big shout out to Anderson, Redding, North State of California for all the wonderful work they did here. And just a couple stories, man, probably the most heart-wrenching one for me. It stunned me. It kind of looks like, dude, you know. Saw a gentleman help me a little bit. I opened a trash can, put it in, you know, and I said, are those original dog tags? And he actually said, no, they're not, in the context of what he said next. He said, they're my son's. He was killed in Afghanistan a year ago. I said what I could, but I really knew in my heart that there was no words I could share that would bring his son back, for sure. So that was really the best way to put a context to, you know, what a lot of men, women, children have done for this country. When I say children, I joined the Navy at 17. I was a child with a lot of World War II casualties, 17, 18 years old, so... Keep them in your hearts. And, you know, when you see people out on the streets, whoever they are, you have absolutely no idea what battles and struggles people are going through. So be kind and just to every single human being that you encounter. And always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.
All right, welcome. March 8th, Without a Roof Radio program. Our show today is dedicated to veterans, including that segment that I had recorded as a testimonial in 2013 at North Valley Stand Down up in Anderson, California. It is International Women's Day, and in honor of that, I have a poem that I have penned to all moms, past, present, and future. Mother is strong, caring and dear. Love of child, boldly sincere. Searching to be all she can bear. Mother is strong, caring and dear. Doubt of self and those that she sees is lifting away with her child's glee. Mother is strong, caring, and dear. Love of child, boldly sincere. Happy International Women's Day and a birthday shout-out to Leslie Johnson, Chico Housing Action Team founder and board member. Her birthday today. Happy birthday, Leslie. Going to move right on in here to one of my favorite pieces. It was filmed at the 2015 Yuba Sada Veteran Stand Down here on People Power Radio.
Tom's story is really amazing and incredible to think that he's going from the river bottoms to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Well, how did God push you here, Tom? You said God pushed you to this camp?
I came looking for this camp and couldn't find a camp and prayed for it right in this area and right after I prayed for it, I came around here and found this trail. This was made by a coyote who lived here, but it only went so far, and I kept going on it. I just kept following it.
Oh, you got a flag? This looks like MASH unit. Tom, tell us a little bit about your story. Homeless 13 years, you're going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, working for Boeing.
Awesome.
Yeah, my name is Tom Miller. I'm a Boeing employee working in Saudi Arabia.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. I love that.
This is my home.
It is.
For the last year and a half, I've been homeless and grateful
for it. Can you just tell me how precious this story is? Because, you know, you as a chaplain out here, and we you know, he awesome. He loves on veterans, but well, how cool is this story?
It's incredible, and I think if you point at the American flag,
yeah. the flag.
That's what you need to know about Tom Miller.
So you got the call right here in this tent. You answer the phone. You're like, hello, it's Tom. What can I help you with?
And he's like, right there in the tent.
Do you want a job at Boeing? What'd you say?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even talk salary. I mean, I was just absolutely, and that's he was glad to hear that. I don't care. And the best part was after I hung up with him, it started to rain immediately after I hung up with him. It was just a second, split second.
Boom.
And drops started hitting the top of the tent.
But not only is it
enough to make it.
Not only is it just a job with Boeing, it's your dream job that you wanted.
It's everything I ever wanted. Yeah, it's everything I ever prayed for. That's what.
Amazing.
That's amazing, guys.
It's amazing.
And never give up on your dreams.
Never give up on your dreams.
It was everything I ever prayed for because there was no way I could get it myself. It was not a job that I was technically trained in the Air Force for per se. I was trained in it eventually.
Yeah.
On the job, but I was not formally trained in it.
Awesome.
So it was nothing that I could go after. It was only something that I could pray for.
I showed up at Stand Down. He said, you're a journalist, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And he says, I got a story for you, man. But Tom Miller's story and the love of this guy and how wonderful a person he is, this is one of my best things I've seen out here, man.
Never give up your dreams. Never, ever give up your dreams. God is the judge of us, and he'll be the judge of your dreams.
All right, huge shout out to Thomas Miller and also to my friend, you, Keith, for all the great work you do in the community of Yuba City and beyond. This next piece right here was actually recorded as an audio recording of an interview I did with a young couple that was living in a tent along the Lindo Channel. You're going to hear from a woman here and her story. And the actual gentleman in the tent with her did not want to be on record, but he had presented as a veteran who wanted no part of any services from the government.
Ashley and me and my husband Brian and our dog Sativa. We're homeless. We've been homeless for off and on for a couple of years, but really homeless for the past 9 months because my mom died. And I'm actually in the process of trying to sue the hospital right now because it's their fault for killing her. It's been really hard trying to make money out here. We used to make a lot of money. And lately, we could hardly make $5. We used to make $50 every day for hotel rooms. And now we can barely make $5 in like an hour. The other day, we were out there for like 6 hours and only made $1. We would just really like to see the homeless shelters or shelters have their dogs with them. Because some people can't get rid of their dogs, or they need their dogs because they're service dogs, and we would just like to see the shelters actually do something about that and have their animals be able to be with them or something. It's just really hard being homeless and not being able to really get anywhere, and hopefully we could just get a little bit more help, more community support. Not so many people, like, hating on us, homeless people. I would just really like to see the community help more with helping us homeless people because they're scared of us or whatever.
This segment of the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by CSU Chico Continuing Education's Open University. Open University provides an opportunity for individuals to take Chico State classes on a space-available basis without going through the admissions process. More information about Open University is available by calling CSU Chico Continuing Education at 530-898-6105 or by visiting rce.csuchico.edu. All right, it's my pleasure. It's been a while. John McClain from Tucson, Arizona, is joining us here on the March edition. I should call it editions of the Without a Roof radio program. We're looking at shelter now and the viability of tent cities. So once again, John McClain, welcome back to KZFR 90.1 FM.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, man, you're doing a lot. You are half of the news involved in all the awesome sheltering that's going on around the United States. I thank you for doing that, sir.
Oh, thank you so much as well, John McClain. So John McClain is right now, he's calling in from Veterans on Patrol, Bravo Base Camp Conklin. Why don't you give us a little insight on where you're at and what you guys are doing, man?
Well, I just joined up with Bravo Base Camp Conklin here I want to think, in the past month. The founder of this base and several of the bases, Lewis Arthur, he founded Veteran on Patrol and this base. We reconciled, and him and the base commander here, Robert Anderson, recently promoted me to camp coordinator. So I'm trying to just get resources here to the base and then organize the people that are here at the base and try to get them housing as quickly as possible.
So how many weeks have you been involved with them now, John?
Just about a month, I'd say, about right now.
And they've been in viability? They've had a tent city there for how long? Maybe a little bit of history on the camp?
This camp has existed for a little bit over 2 years, and it was founded by Lewis Arthur, like I said. And I was actually at a different location initially, and then I think about 6 months into the project, it was moved over here to where it's at, right next to one of the local parks just south of downtown. In the 2 years that this organization has been doing this, they've housed over 40 people, and it's really been a nice little transition spot for a lot of people that aren't used to having a house but need to get the help to get the services, whether it's housing, disability, a job, or that little hand up that traditionally a veteran needs to get back to independence.
So that's a permanent, quote unquote, a permanent location. You guys have been in one spot for a couple of years now, or many months.
Yeah, in this spot, and luckily we have the land donated to us by business owner. The name of the business is HMS Fasteners, and he had an acre and a half behind his business that he wasn't using. He's a veteran, and he was all about Lewis's mission of finding veterans and getting them into housing, and he's let us use this land ever since.
Now, what is the protocol? Is it a men's only camp, a co-ed? Maybe a little insight on that.
Oh, it's men and women, even couples. We have 8 dogs here at the property as well. And it's about 25% to 75% civilian to veterans. So much like a traditional military base, we have civilians here as well that help take care of some of the veterans that can't take care of themselves or just handle the operations of the base, like the PX would act on a military base.
Now, maybe before you hand it over to the base commander, I think it'd be nice for folks that haven't heard prior John McClain interviews on KZFR, a little bit of your background and why you're probably really well suited to be the camp coordinator.
Well, I'm a combat vet myself. I was a fuel specialist. My main job when I was in Iraq from 03 to 05 was setting up bases and setting up fuel systems and inspecting them, as well as water systems. In the military, especially my combat experience, I set up probably about 20 of them. And then in 2011, after I was well out of the military and out of Iraq, I got involved with Occupy Tucson. We started up several protest encampments. And then once that ended, I started something called Safe Park, which was a homeless camp that I want to think at one point slept about 3,000 or 4,000 people over a 3-year span. And then we got on the news a couple times over some big boxes we put out on the sidewalk to sleep people. And that chapter of my life kind of ended, and then here I am now.
What's been your experience? What is a day-to-day or a standard week of being the coordinator at Camp Conklin look like, John McClain?
Well, primarily it's holding the people that are the team leaders, whether it's for the kitchen or the different tasks or for the security, holding them accountable, making sure they're holding their people accountable, and then connecting with any volunteers that come over to get them into our network of volunteers, so that way whenever we need something, we can activate that. And, just kind of supporting the base commander in any way that I possibly can from my capacity as a person that doesn't live here.
That's probably an excellent, excellent segue. Why don't we put the base commander on, and what's his name, and I can introduce him, and I can finish these next 3 questions.
Yeah, his name is Robert Anderson, and he's been the base commander here for the past year. Hello?
Is this Robert Anderson? I got that name. Did I remember the name correctly, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much for your service. I'm United States Navy Subservice 7882, so I'm really blessed to see what you guys are doing out there and that you got Mr. McClain involved. Big shout-outs.
Thank you. So, yes, he's been my friend for years.
Yeah, he's a wonderful, wonderful person. So have you been involved with Camp Conklin since, quote-unquote, day one?
Yes, I was on the slide homeless with my girlfriend and my dog when they first came.
Oh, so you were physically a roofless vet, which I was a roofless vet. I'm actually a HUD VASH voucher person myself. So you kind of used this Camp Conklin as a way to quote unquote get on your feet, and you just kept working.
Yeah, well, I was homeless in this area for 6 years.
What a blessing that you're now housed, yes. That you have it someplace to be.
Yes.
Do you live physically on site there?
Yes, I have to.
And what is the role of a base commander?
I organize the camp. I get everybody motivated. I get everybody do their chores. I'm the one that instructs the security detail on security aspects of the base, you know, the fire watch and how to run it and stuff like that. I'm the one that they come to when my security team comes to when there's problems on the base. You know, they handle that. There's a chain of command. I make sure that everything's running smoothly, that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that there's no drug use or alcohol use on base.
So what are some of the rules of the camp then that we're describing here?
Well, our basic rules are, you know, to respect everybody in the community. No drugs or alcohol allowed on base. You know, that's about it, really. You know, we just got to respect each other. We have, you know, like community rules, you know, and pick up after yourself and stuff like that, and chores like that, and fire watch detail. And, you know, if people don't follow the rules, it's just a bunch of basic rules, you know, that any community would have, you know, to maintain a safe and secure community.
So what does it look like for someone that's living here? Do they have like a standard chore list or tasks that they do, and they have certain places they need to be?
Yes, sir. We have several disabled vets that can't do chores. So we have 15% civilian population, you know, and it's people that are in transit from either they were in a abusive relationship, or they're in transit with their housing or something like that, couples, and we will help them out, because for every disabled vet we have to have a civilian to help pull the weight to run the camp, you know, take out the trash and everything else. And I believe that it's part of our, you know, our cause is to help the public also, you know, like a small percent of the public. We find them housing, they have to have goals and stuff like that too, and they help the vets.
How many people do you guys house there on site?
Well, we have 16 veterans right now, and we have 7 civilians, and I like to keep it to 6 or 7 civilians, you know, to pull the weight for the disabled vets. No.
For our listeners just joining, we're listening to Robert Anderson, base commander at Veterans on Patrol, Bravo Base, Camp Conklin. One of my favorite questions of the lot here is some testimonies on things that you've seen, some beautiful things you've seen in your time.
Some of the beautiful things I've seen is we got 3 vets housing last month. They got their own apartments. And the most beautiful part of that is they could still come here and they hang out, you know, and they volunteer and they help, you know, for other vets. They come by and they hang out, watch TV with us. Like I said, not only do we help out vets, but we will also give homeless people in the area blankets, water, coffee at any time of the day they come by.
That's nice. Do you guys connected with the HUD VASH, Veterans Assisted Supportive Housing? Is that?
Yes, sir. We're connected with several housing agencies, Primavera, La Frontera, Old Pueblo. Yeah, they come out and they do spadats on our people, on the civilians and the veterans. And everybody here is hooked up in some kind of program. This is a goal-oriented program.
What are some of the goals? Do they set their own goals? Do you kind of work on a contract? Maybe a little bit of insight around the goals of the people that are in the camp?
Well, we just ask them what their needs are, you know, because when you get a house, you have to be signed up for, you got to have food, so you got to be signed up with either access, you know, health insurance, stuff like that, with their prescription meds and stuff like that, their psych meds. So we provide rides for that, you know, reestablish them on their psych meds. Any kind of appointments they have or anything, we try to get them to them as fast as we can. We work closely with the Red Cross and several other organizations. You know, they're the ones that do our housing, Old Pueblo, Primavera.
So you're providing what we would standardly call case management in the civilian term?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, social work. And we also do it for our civilians here, too. You know, we try to find them housing that will best suit them. You know, we hook them up with the HUDs for that and all that. You know, and they have to get access to food stamps, IDs, and stuff they would need to get up off the street.
So Base Commander Robert Anderson, if I gave you 2 minutes to kind of describe how excited you are about the work that you're doing on Camp Conklin, what would it sound like?
I'm very excited. This program saved my life. I didn't think there was a way off the streets. I was on the streets myself at one point, addicted to drugs and everything else. And I've been here 15 months. I've been clean and sober, and we're trying to help vets off the street, you know, and I think that it's a big problem in the United States, homeless vets with PTSD problems and stuff like that. And I don't think the government's doing enough for them. And people in the community are helping us out tremendously. And I'm just very excited and paying it forward. And every day it just keeps me sober and going on. And seeing the people that from the streets that come here, and we help them out, and you know, and the smiles on their face and the good things that we're doing. We also do a neighborhood watch where we go out at night and we patrol the area. We go into the park and we bring pizza and food and water and stuff to the people in the park, the homeless people in the park, on our quest for vets. You know, we ask amongst the homeless people for vets. We go downtown on missions. We go on missions for vets that live in the desert because they have PTSD so bad they don't want to live anywhere but in the desert. So we go out there, respect their wishes, and we bring them food and we bring them water and everything else they need.
How many vets do you think you're outreaching with on a weekly, monthly basis?
On a weekly, monthly basis, like I said, last month we got three vets that had apartments. Everybody here is heading for apartments. I'd say probably about 40, 50 vets at this base alone that we help out, and probably about 100, maybe to 200 homeless people.
Wow, that's just amazing. That really has brightened my day hearing
thank you.
All the wonderful words. Any closing comments?
Well, I believe that God, you know, or the powers that be, you know, saved me to do this kind of work, and it's very gratifying. You know, everybody knows me from when I was on the street and stuff, you know, and they come up and to help him is just very grateful because, you know, I know what it was like out there. And some of the staff members are saying, well, why won't these people talk to you? And I'm like, well, to me, you know, and they only talk to you. And I'm like, because they know me, this is where I come from, and this is, you know, how I'm trying to pay it forward in South Tucson, you know, and help the vets and help the homeless people also. John McCain is just a blessing. You know, I've known him for 6 years and his work at Safe Park and everything, and now we're combining together to make Tucson a better place, you know.
Robert Anderson, that's a wonderful dynamic duo, and I know from just talking to both of you, there's many dynamic people there in Camp Conklin, so many blessings for what you're doing,
thank you,
sir. Alrighty, have
thank
a good day.
Come by anytime.
We'll all right, huge shout out, John McClain, Robert Anderson, Tucson, Arizona. These next two pieces give you a good opportunity to learn more about HUDBASH. We actually have a HUDBASH participant. His name is Jeremy. It was filmed in Chico at a picnic in 2014. And then we follow that with a wonderful segment from the 2012 Yuba Sutter Veteran Stand Down called Stand Down After Dark. Gives you a good understanding of what Stand Down's all about and the wonderful people that they serve.
Kind of serendipity, I guess. You know, I came here at a particular time and I got on the list very quickly, and within a few months I had a voucher. I'd never looked into my VA stuff before, but it certainly gave me almost exactly what I wanted. I knew that there was a way for me, and it didn't necessarily involve, you know, the traditional ways of you have to break your back, you know, and do everything that you possibly can do within your personal effort to make things work. I think that there, which is my general, the way that I see things, actually, I think there is more, like I said, that serendipity, you know, there is a sort of flow, there's assistance there, mm-hmm, when you open yourself up to that assistance. And I don't think that moment happens until you're actually emotionally ready for it, which takes time.
Takes time. Give us those fingers again. I like that.
Takes time.
High five.
Leonard, you're on, dude.
All right. You know, I think the basic thing, my passion about this is the fact that, you know, the military has did so much for this country to keep us safe and secure where we're at. And to come out here and spend a few nights helping them in whatever way we can, I think is the greatest thing we can honestly do, not only for our vets, but for our country. And if there's anything that the vets need, is assistance. Most of them don't even know what they have the ability to get. Most of them are in high need that come here. And so just to be a part of helping them live a more better and better quality life, I just think it's everything. Amen.
Right. Well, you asked me for a testimonial, and I can give you two real quick. One happened here at the Yuba Sutter Stand Down 1 year. We came up, and I was speaking with a gentleman who had come to the event from the Bay Area, and he was a disabled vet, and he rode his bicycle for 8 hours to get from wherever he was, and I believe it was Sacramento.
Wow.
To get up here to attend this event, and it meant enough for him that he was willing to ride a bicycle for 8 hours with one leg shorter than the other, literally, to get up here to be able to get services or get the assistance he needed, to get a hand up instead of a hand out.
Yeah, you know what's in my heart? It was really cool seeing Chaplain Yu here. There's been a lot of wonderful people I've met. I can't believe what I've been able to see and do in one day and what I'm going to be able to do in the next 2 days. But Chaplain Yu and I, we're brothers, man, because I was actually sleeping and I woke up and I was like, it feels like there's a car that just drove right by me. And it was Pastor Yu
and another chaplain. And I physically thought to myself, my gosh, I'm glad or lucky that they didn't run over. So you came over in his chaplain ways, making sure I was feeling okay about the whole thing. And he says, I'm sorry for that. He says, we're really lucky we didn't run you over. And I would say yes, because I think that might have tainted Chaplain Yu's whole experience here. He would have killed one of his bunk mates coming to the standout. That would be a testimonial we would not want.
I can still see it like it was yesterday. Jeremy saying, it takes time. Also seems like just yesterday that I went to my first stand down at Yuba Sutter, Veteran Stand Down 2012. Shout out you, Keith, and the rest of the folks that make that whole thing possible. And we're going to end our segment here, our show, March 8th, Without a Roof show, with some insights on Vietnam veterans. My first piece is filmed and produced at the Vietnam Memorial in Sacramento, featuring a homeless Vietnam veteran. And then we end it with a Vietnam veteran, Denny. It was filmed here at the Chico Food Locker back in 2013. And until next week, here on People Power Radio.
It's Tom, a Vietnam vet of North Carolina. Live in Pittsburgh, New York, American Fork, Utah, and now I'm in Sacramento, California. About 18 months in Vietnam, the Army Corps Chair Cavalry Drill Guard, and Commander Corporal. I've been homeless for the past 20 months since my wife died, and a massive heart attack on December 14, 2010.
The people of the state of California dedicate this monument to the memory of those Californians who died or remain missing in the Vietnam War.
You know, my Uncle George, he was in World War II, and he fought in the streets of Europe. He was what his friends would call a badass. You didn't want to mess with this guy. And as a kid, I used to just love to hear him tell the stories. I was born in 1960, before baby boomer. And, you know, he told an awful lot of stories about actually watching POWs and almost being killed. And, you know, there was a lot of animosity towards Germans and Japanese. I think some of that lingers to this day. And I'll never forget my dear Uncle George. I said, Uncle George, you know, how did you feel about those people? Remember to this day, he said, you know what, Billy? They were just like you and I. He said they were over there doing a job, trying to protect their country and do the best they could for their families. And he said, I never had any animosity towards any of those folks. And I think that's a carryover to this great nation of ours. And I think it's parable to the homeless community as I see it out here. So
I wish all the best out there, the best in the world. I don't care what, where you're from, I wish you all the best.
Going to be a lot more veterans coming home. And I just hope the government don't treat them the way they treated us when we came home.
You're a Vietnam vet, sir?
Yeah.
How many tours you do over there?
Two.
Two?
Mm-hmm.
That means you raised your hand to go the second time, right?
Oh, no, I just stayed because I had even a score.
Had even a score?
Yeah, I lost my best friend and 24 others. So I had to. You can't make it even, but I tried. We all tried. Mm-hmm. 85 was went over, and 35 came back. Walking, 25 disabled, and 25 killed. First time the first American was killed, they should have nuked the whole bloody island. The veterans stand now real good. The people are cool. I like them. Every one of them are old Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, whatever. They're old-timers. They know where the dirt hits the ground. And they help out a lot of people. And the people are just like you're going home. You get a bunch of crazy old veterans like me, and everything goes. And it gives an eye awakening to people that are not veterans. And they open their eyes to the BS that the veterans have to put up with. Homeless veterans. I got baited, and I refused my Purple Heart. Told them to give it to somebody who deserved it. And everybody else who gets medals don't prove that they were brave. They just prove that they were bloody lucky to walk away from it. Law Boys didn't.
Amen, Jerry.
Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30. Each week, we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. We can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WOAROOF, and we can be found on our homepage at WOAROOF.TUMBLR.com. Tom. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Next up is Jeannie Trezino with Non-Human Radio from 5:30 to 6 p.m., followed by Sue Hildebrand and The Real Issue here on People Power Radio.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the